Okay, scriptures again tonight, Luke 3, verses 21, 22, and Romans 6, 3 to 5. So this is Luke. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then over to Romans 6, verse 3 to 5. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like him. The word of the Lord.
So as I mentioned in my prayer, we'll be meditating in the meaning of our baptism tonight. And I'm sure that if not all of you here, most of the people in the room have experienced that a while back, right? Let's say about 20 years, 30 years or more, right? We don't need to go that far, right? When I got baptized when I was 7 years old. So yeah, a little bit over 30 years ago, right, Tracy? So at least that's what I like to think, right? Anyway, but to truly grasp its deep meaning for us, we need to first look at a moment in Jesus' life that might seem a bit puzzling at first. So as we read our text tonight from Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, when all the people are being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Interesting. If you stop to think about it, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This passage can raise a big question for us. So why would Jesus, being God and without sin, needed to be baptized? Right? So we know that John's baptism was for repentance. It was a sign that people were turning away from their sins and towards God. But Jesus had no sin to turn away from. He had nothing to repent. So why did Jesus need to be baptized? The answer is found not in what Jesus needed, but in what he was doing for us, as an example for us. So, Jesus' baptism was a model of profound obedience and identity. That's the first point that I want to explore with you tonight. The first thing to understand is that Jesus' baptism was an act of perfect obedience to the Father's will. In Matthew Gospel, chapter 3, John the Baptist hesitated to baptize Jesus, saying, I need to baptize you. I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Right? So John was a little bit hesitated, but Jesus responded to him, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." This was not about Jesus getting something he needed. It was about him doing what was right in God's eyes. It was his first public act of submission to the Father's plans for salvation, a plan that would ultimately lead him to the rugged cross. Jesus was showing us from the very beginning of his public ministry that the path to a life pleasing to God is a path of obedience. Think of it like this. A rancher's son, though he grew up on the land and knows every animal and every inch of the fence, decides to start working the ranch from the bottom, just like the new hands. He doesn't need to learn how to fix fence posts or mend the watering trough, but he does it anyway. Why? To show the new hands that he is with them, that he understands their journey, and that he is an example they can follow. Right? So, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, stepped into the waters of baptism to identify himself with us, the sinful people he came to save. He showed that he was fully with us, even in our need for repentance and new life. He was not separated from us. He was in our world, living among us, experiencing life like we experienced, and doing what was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. In that moment, as Jesus was praying, the heavens opened and God the Father and the Holy Spirit visibly affirmed him. The Holy Spirit came down like a dove, and the Father's voice was heard saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This was a public display of the Trinity. So the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit working in complete unity. It was God's public endorsement of Jesus' mission, a declaration that Jesus was indeed the long-awaited Messiah, our Savior. So, again, Jesus' baptism was not about his need for salvation. It was a powerful model of obedience and an act of identification with humanity and a public confirmation of his divine identity and also his mission. He did this for us, setting the perfect example for us, his believers, and for all the believers out there to follow his steps. So now, let's turn our attention to what this means for us who are here today, right? If Jesus' baptism was about obedience and a picture of his mission, what is our baptism about? For us, the first point is that baptism is a public and beautiful symbol that shows the world what has already happened in our hearts. We all do know that, right? That's the first thing that we say. Well, it's our public confession in Jesus Christ and to people as Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, and if we turn to those verses in Romans chapter 6, so the Apostle Paul says, "Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." This passage is key to understanding our Christian baptism. It tells us that our baptism is a spiritual picture of our union with Christ in his death and also his resurrection. So when we go under the water, it is a symbol of being buried with Christ. So if we think it about us today, if we think about the farmer, it's like burying the old dead crop stalks in the ground at the end of the season, they are gone. This represents the death of our old life, the life lived in sin and rebellion against God. It is a public declaration that we are done with our old ways. So we bury that. So when we come out of the water, it's a symbol of being raised from the dead to a new life. It represents our resurrection with Christ and our new beginning as a child of God. This is like the sprouting of new, vibrant seedlings in the spring. That seed that died, that was buried and died, is now coming back to life, a promising life. This is a beautiful parallel to Jesus' own experience. Jesus, as he was buried into the water and raised to a new life, we too are spiritually buried with him and raised to a new life. So now, let's talk about the spiritual reality of baptism. What happens there in the spiritual realm? While the act of baptism is something we can see, its true meaning happens in the spiritual realm. Baptism doesn't save us, right? Because salvation comes only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The water itself does not wash away our sins. No, that's only done through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Instead, baptism is a visible picture of an invisible work that God has already done in our hearts through His Holy Spirit in that moment when we were saved in Christ. So, it's a living physical testimony to a spiritual truth. Think of it like this, another illustration to help us to capture here. Think about branding an animal on a ranch, and you guys, lots of you guys are very familiar with that. The brand doesn't make the calf belong to the rancher, does it? No. Why? Because it already belongs to the rancher, already belongs to him. So because that cow, that mother, already belonged to him. So, but the brand is an outward public mark that shows everyone who the owner of that animal is. In the same way, baptism is an outward symbol of the spiritual reality of new life that God has already given us. So if for any reason we miss the opportunity to be baptized, or that person that's laying in a hospital bed and cannot be baptized, that person will be united with Christ through salvation in Jesus, right? So, but the baptism is that public confession of our faith. We truly believe in Jesus Christ. We have our faith in Jesus Christ. And again, we don't get saved by being baptized, right? But we get baptized because we are saved. It's also important to understand that Jesus had a different kind of baptism to fulfill. He told his disciples in Luke chapter 12, "I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed." So he was referring to his death on the cross. This was the ultimate physical baptism, the final act of dying to sin's power and rising to new life. So Jesus defeated the enemy, but not only that. He conquered death for us. Death who had a grip on us. Death who was the reason we were separated from God. death no longer has a claim over me and you, over all those who truly surrender their life to Jesus Christ, because he, Jesus, went through the real final baptism of death. And because he did that, we don't need to physically die to affirm our faith in him. He has already paid the whole price for our sins on that rugged cross. So, again, our baptism is our public response to what Jesus Christ has already done for us. So, now, do you grasp the importance of getting baptized? Do you see the beautiful picture in the spiritual realm? We are declaring to the enemy that he has no rights over us, because our Lord and Savior defeated him and defeated him for eternity. I already said this, but a common misunderstanding about baptism is that it is what saves us. The Bible does not affirm that. The Bible doesn't tell us that. In fact, it is clear that by grace, salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. As Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For it's by grace you have been saved, through faith, through our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is not from ourselves, right? It is a gift from God." Baptism is a beautiful symbol of that salvation, not the cause of it. It is a way we affirm our loyalty to the one who saved us from the misery destination we were set for. Now get this reality. That destination will be a reality for all those who do not declare their faith in Jesus Christ in this life and die without him. So that's why we are called to share. We are called to share the hope that we have in Christ. This beautiful hope. Because the Bible tells us that everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. We already spoke about that here. So, and let me just bring it now to our reality. Some lessons that we can apply in our lives today. So, some practical lessons. Baptism is more than just a tradition or a religious rite. It is a profound declaration that should impact every area of our lives. Your baptism, again, I'm repeating myself here, but it's important to do that. It's a public declaration of your faith. Now, think it about in our environment here, in a ranch. That's like putting up a new fence line. So the fence doesn't make the land yours, does it? No. You have the title for that. But it's a clear line that shows everyone where your property begins. Right? And that belongs to whom? To you. In the same way, baptism is a clear line in the sand separating your old life from your new life in Christ. The public step is a way of saying, I am a follower of Christ, I am a follower of Jesus, and I am not ashamed of it, by all means. Let's talk about a new identity. When you are baptized, you are identifying with Christ and his death. You're identifying yourself with Christ and his death. This means your old identity the one defined by sin, guilty, and shame is gone. It has been buried with him. It has been buried with your declaration when you got baptized. It has, you now have a new identity as a child of God. You are forgiven, you are loved, and redeemed. For a farmer, it's like a worn-out field that's plowed under and rested. It's given a new purpose, and it'll be used to grow something new and valuable. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. So, baptism is a visual reminder of that truth every day. So, our baptism is also a pledge of allegiance. So, when a new hand comes to work on a ranch, he makes a handshake with the rancher. And he promised to be loyal to the rancher and the ranch. So, don't you miss the time when a handshake would seal the deal? The word was enough? You could trust someone? So, through your baptism, you are making a similar pledge to Jesus Christ as your Lord and King. You are saying that He and no one else has authority over your life. This commitment means that you seek to obey Him, to follow Him, to follow His teachings, and to serve Him with your whole heart. You will be His hands and feet out in the world where you labor. This is not an easy commitment, by no means, but it's the most rewarding one. And also, I want to talk about being a step of obedience. Just as Jesus Christ was baptized in obedience to the Father's will, our baptism is also an act of obedience. It is a command from Christ to His followers. When we obey His command, we are walking in the footsteps of our Lord, living a life that's pleasing to Him. And if you think about our lives, our example today, we are obedient to God when we are planting the seed in the right season. Even though the harvest is far away and not yet seen. We spoke about that quite a few times here already. It is a step of trust that God will give the growth for that seed that we bury in the soil. This act of obedience strengthens our faith, encourages our faith journey with other believers, and deepens our relationship with God. So let's conclude our meditation tonight here. Christian baptism is a beautiful and meaningful act. It's not just a religious ritual that some people may think about. It's a living symbol of our spiritual reality. It tells the story of Jesus' obedience and His victory over death. And it tells the story of our new life in Him. It's a moment where, again, we publicly affirm our faith and declare our allegiance to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Does this remind you about your baptism? Can you remember that day? So remember the reasons that you did that? Can you think about it? Does it challenge you to live for Christ? Do you remember when you first did that? As a 7-year-old boy, when I got baptized, I remember I had 8 other people with me. I was the youngest probably, yeah. And when the pastor asked, who wants to be the first? I was the first in line. I was so excited to testify that I was a believer in Jesus Christ. So, and I'm so thankful for those who taught me about this important act of obedience to our Lord. And I want you to remember, if you have been baptized, already been baptized, remember what it symbolizes. I hope that this message will help you to come back to that time. Live out the new life you are called to and remember the new identity you had in Christ years, years ago. And He was faithful to bring you to this point today. And if you're listening to me tonight and you have not been baptized, but have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I encourage you to take this step of obedience. Okay, I hope that the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you how important this is. So it's a powerful way that you have to tell the world that you belong to Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen? Let's pray one more time. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to meditate into your word today, Lord, and the example that Christ gave us. Father God, I pray that this word will resonate with each one of us here tonight, Lord. It will be challenging us, Lord, to continue to live for you, Lord. Father, it's a great reminder of what Christ did for us. And we thank Him and we thank you for that, Lord, for your love for us. And Father God, help us to remain faithful, to remain obedient to you, Father God, and to keep, Lord, daily, Lord, pledging our allegiance, Lord, to continue to follow you with all that we have. In Christ's name we pray and thank you. Amen.